take a moment today and reflect on the concept of happiness. Happiness comes up a lot. People tend to think that once they find happiness, they're done. They stay happy inevitably until their last breath, and all is good. Some people are a little bit more intimately experienced with the relationship of happiness and know that with happiness come peaks of elation as well as the dips of perhaps not despair, but most certainly what feels like the opposite of happiness for that person. And there's a fundamental reason for those ups and downs. If you seek to be happy, and there's lots of words there that we could look into, including what is seeking, but let's focus on happiness first. If you seek to be happy, then you are inevitably entering or getting on a roller coaster ride of ups and downs that peak and dip in various states of emotional upheaval. Happiness is a product of the mind. It is an experience of the human in the form of emotion. When we look at emotions as human, they represent a very special part of the experience of being in a life. They are what brings us memories that we covet. And sometimes people equate the opposite of happiness as something of value, that being the contrast to remind us of what it feels like to be happy. There are many philosophies and religions that look at the extremes of happiness and sadness, for example, as a gift, explaining that without one, we cannot have the other. And that is most certainly in alignment with a reality based in duality. In other words, if you live from the vantage point of human, and if you associate your life as one in which you occasionally have spiritual experiences as a human on this planet, then you will find that you are bathing in the duality of emotion. To exit the duality of emotion, one looks at emotion from a different vantage point. Because if you remain in the vantage point of human, looking at emotion, you will see it as an essential part or component of a life, rich and fully lived. However, being here on this planet and having a life and experiencing all the wonders that it can bring is actually not the reason why many people have come here. It is certainly a reason why most came here, let's say, quote, in the past, but it's not why people, beings to be more exact, are entering the sphere of reality anymore. So if you're listening to this and you have ever experienced that subtle voice or the gentle pulling or tugging at your heartstrings that says to you there's something more out there for you than the life you're living, that would be spirit in many instances saying, hey, hi, person of free will, you and I are a team. You and I are here to work together. I know why you're there, and I know why you designed that life, but I'm going to need you to remember why you designed it so that you can remember why you're there, so that you can live in, and here's a very important word, alignment with spirit, with your higher knowing, with, say, an elevated version of a higher self. If we live in alignment, happiness falls to the wayside. When we look at life through the eyes of spirit, then there is very little attention placed on the experience of happiness or the experience of any emotion for that matter. Yes, it can definitely make conversations challenging. Because if someone coming from this vantage point is having a conversation with someone who is tightly wound up in the experience of human, then they won't understand why you don't find the things they find important important. They won't understand why you don't want to engage in a certain level of conversation. They won't see it that way, but they just won't understand why they're not able to hook into a part of you, you into a part of them, so that you can dance the tango of yappy slappy, where you flap your gums, where you talk your stories out, where you vent your issues, temporarily feeling better, but then going back into the mire of emotion the moment you leave that conversation, seeking out the next outlet in which you can spew and dump, because rightfully so, you as a being, including you as a body, don't want to hold on to all of that misalignment or incongruency in one's being. And when you have that misalignment that comes from being mired in the human experience and seeking out, quote, what you judge as positive experiences, then you will have both the positive and the negative. Because as those ancient belief systems have dictated so accurately, there is a very important foundation of duality in the experience of human. And when we engage in bringing up emotions, when we are in a state of, let's call it autopilot, where we don't look and question, capital L for look and question, and examine and discern from a higher state, then the experience becomes one that is simply a sequence of triggers to activate different states of emotion. So then we go back to happiness. And why am I looking at happiness? Because people who come to work with me are often people who have lived a life in which they have started off enthusiastically, and their enthusiasm is another one of those very dualistic experiences where up goes into down quite quickly. And they've gone through the process of trying to figure out life by themselves, and they've gotten pushed down, they've tripped, they've gotten beaten down, maybe even kicked a few times, and they've gotten to the point where they're ready to make much more of a clear sense of what life is all about, not in general, but for them. And the people who tend to gravitate toward this type of work with me are ones who are, in one way or another, aware that there is more to their life than what they are enacting in this moment. And they finally want to know what it is, because the discomfort of misalignment has gotten a little bit too intense for them. And that's very much something that I went through, and I very much feel you if you're in that place. I've been there. I get it. It's about deciding when it's enough. So going back again to happiness. As with all conversations with spirit, they tend to be non-linear, so we're jumping around, but all very valuable, very relevant. I went to an event this morning, and the event was essentially a showcase of happiness. And there were a few speakers that were invited to share with the audience their lives, their life stories, their experiences as they relate to happiness. Because for one reason or another, they say that they are happy. And based on their individual definitions of success, which we didn't get into, but it was quite clear, all of them had their own definitions, they were successful in life and they were therefore happy. Bells may start ringing for some of you at this point. In this reality that I stepped into this morning very consciously, in a reality that I knew wasn't mine, but I also know that there are many who are living on this planet right now in this reality. For some reason, I was drawn to examine it. So I went to look. I didn't really go to participate aside from holding space. I went to simply look. So as I looked, I saw that there is a fundamental correlation in this group of people, let's say. I'm not going to generalize all the way out there into what is happiness for everyone, but it seems that Success is correlated with happiness in the minds of the humans, mind being a very integral component or mechanism in the human experience. So we didn't get into definitions during this event, but seeing that emotions are products of the mind, happiness being a state of emotion or an emotional state, doesn't mean you are emotional and crying or screaming. It just means it is bringing you into a place where you are feeling a dualistic side of a coin, where one side is happiness and the other side is pick your poison. Whether it's sadness, despair, depression, deflation, whatever it is for you. And so as I watched these people speak about their successes, some interesting things came up. One woman mentioned a phenomenon that she's finding now when she attends events. And because I tend to be a hermit, this was very new information to me. It may be something that you're well aware of already happening in your life. But she said that people used to meet at networking events and start the conversation off by saying, "So what do you do?" And these days there seems to be a follow-up question. And that follow-up question is, "Okay, now I know what you do. Tell me what you really want to do." And that's a fascinating question. And it's a fascinating indication of the mass consciousness shifting into a place where there is acknowledgement being made that there is an option to do what you want to do. And in this exploratory phase, it's all about looking. Whether they realize that they're doing it or not doesn't matter. It is the point of looking at other options and finally or fundamentally coming to a point where you realize you have a choice. The issue with this, specifically for people who are here for service to the collective, more so than they are for a monocentric evolution of one's self in the process of remembering, the issue is that very often these potent beings who are at this stage in the process of the evolution of the planet, feeling that tug to take a look at what it is they're really here to do much more strongly than ever, the roles that they're here to play are not roles that you can find in career guides. They're not roles that have been expressed in words in many cases. These beings are often here to revive the vocabulary on this experiential plane, birthing new words that encompass more meaning, more meaningful alignment with spirit, so that we as a race can evolve in every way, including in the way that we communicate. So these, what do you call them? Forerunners. These people, these beings who are here to usher in the new, capital N, are going to find that no matter how much they look to external sources to find the answer to the question, but what do you really want to do? They're going to find that they fall flat. The research that they do, regardless of how profound, prolific it could be if they looked within, would never be the same if they looked without. Regardless of the research they do and the meticulous nature with which they fine-tooth comb every career option available will not come to the clarity that they would if they simply looked within. Because it is within that we have all of the answers embedded in what can be considered a divine blueprint that maps out the details of this life in such a granular way that they can then be translated into words that you can understand. The magic of the process of remembering why you're here is in pulling out those answers from within on your own. Nobody tells you what you should be doing. So that was interesting. So that was the first thing that I found quite a tickle, that the mass consciousness is shifting into this new space of, but what do you really want to do? The second thing that I saw was these three wonderful speakers, very enthusiastic, and I don't say that in a denigrating way. They were very energetic. They were very interested in sharing their story. They spoke of all of the work that they do, and they often also went into what they do as a side hustle or additional things they do beyond the traditional job that they hold that feed them and fuel them and give them that elevated sense of satisfaction that they're living a full life. The side hustle is interesting. The side hustle often tells you or gives you clues about what it is you're here to do. Where people get confused, and rightfully so, it can feel like a tangled ball of hair very often until you start combing it out, is that the side hustle is maybe kind of justifiably related to what they do in their full-time role, but not really. And then there may not be just one side hustle, there may be seven, and they're working 7 days a week, hardly seeing their spouse, starting to get to the point of physical exhaustion, and not really sure where to go next. And that's an interesting dynamic in itself, where inside you feel satisfaction, because finally you're starting to do all of the things that you are here to touch. All of those touch points are being met, but not in a cohesive, manageable way for the human experience. Why? Because finite is the human experience. The body is mortal. And if we push the body too far without honoring and respecting it as the divine vessel that it is, holding spirit in a space of dense physical experience, then it's going to start protesting. And that's not an ideal place to be in, because then when the vessel starts to break down, it becomes all the more of a challenge to fulfill one's role as spirit embodied. So that was another thing that I found quite interesting. This enthusiasm or excitement for being able to have identified, first of all, those side hustles, those extra things that they love to do that they can fulfill their lives even more, where they feel like they have more opportunity to give back to the world and to change the world for a more conscious one, which is an interesting word that came up as well, conscious. But if you don't exercise an awareness that comes from remembering why you're here, you won't be able to act with purposeful precision. Acting with purposeful precision means that you don't waste energy, that you don't diffuse yourself, that you don't spread yourself too thin in the name of giving back, in the name of serving, in the name of living a fulfilled life where you are happy and more. And the higher you get in frequency in any moment, the more you remember who you are, the nature of you as spirit, and why you are here in this particular life, and perhaps even others, the more the margin of error reduces. There is a smaller tolerance that is available to you to get off point, to be misaligned. So in those cases where you're starting to identify all of the things you love, you may actually start to realize in the physical experience that you can't do all the things you could have done before. And yes, a lot of people justify that with the aging process, but burnout is a real thing, and it comes faster the more you engage in doing what you're here to do. And I know that sounds odd. That sounds like there's a price to pay for being spirit embodied. And to a certain degree, there is. There is less tolerance for you to slip back into human. And if you do, then the price is higher for you to be in human than it was before. But I also saw something else during this event and another one that I went to last week. In terms of demographics, I tend to be around people who have reached very mature points in their careers, and maybe some who are even officially nearing the age of retirement, but tend not to have any intention of retiring because they define their lives differently. But the people that I've been around in the last couple of weeks have been what I think they call millennials. So people within 20 to 30 range is who I've been interacting with. And this is a very new experience for me. I see the excitement in their eyes mixed with a blend of trepidation and exasperation and perhaps sometimes even exhaustion and confusion and fear, maybe nervousness, anticipation of what it will be like to step out in the world and be them. And everyone I've spoken with and observed so far has had a very similar perspective. I don't want to remember why I'm here. I want to figure it out through the experience of living my life. And so what that means is they're at the stage where they're fresh, they're energized, and they think, and perhaps some of them know, they can do it. So eventually, all of us go through this process where we're finally out of school, the cattle is released into a beautiful field of fresh grass, and it can go to pasture. And that initial freedom of being released from these institutions of education, and I'm saying that with quotes because the system of education itself is quite flawed at a fundamental level, they feel that freedom and they want to exercise it. They want to spread their arms and they want to run as fast as they can in any direction they finally are able to choose for themselves. So I get it. It's not a bad thing. But isn't it an interesting concept for someone in their 20s and 30s to go through the process of consciously remembering why they're here, having such a significantly longer runway in their life, theoretically, of course I'm generalizing here, to pursue the reason for their being here, to achieve those goals while going through this life in a much more awakened state? So that's also something that I've found quite interesting, but all of them are, within this theme of happiness, very happy to shoot the darts in the dark and hope that they hit the board. If they hit the center of the board, all the better, but they'll celebrate any win. And that's fine for a while until you realize that it's harder to hit the board than you think coming from human. Coming from the place where you value the experience of being in the physical. It's not to say we don't value the physical and in fact honor it and admire it, but see it for what it is. It is a tool. It is not the end game. If there's anything that I would ask you to consider taking away from this conversation, is to consider taking a look at your relationship with happiness. Take a look at what it means to you to be happy. Take a look at experiences that you've had where you were happy. And take a look at what happened after. Perhaps even consider asking yourself how your relationship with happiness spills into any existing desire, hope, wish, or natural inclination to want to make other ones happy, to make other people happy. Is it important for you that other people are happy with the decisions you make and the things you do? Are you in roles where it would be oh so much easier if they could just be happy with what you've decided so you can get a break from people wanting more or wanting different? All of that reality is very much mired in the human. How do you get out of that reality while still living a life where you have a job and you run errands and you have conversations like other people? You begin to model. It is from within that we change the external. It is not from the external that we find answers on how to change the within. So if you find that happiness is important to you, define what happiness means to you. Take a look at what happiness has brought you and what it gives you to seek out that emotion. Ultimately, does it serve you?